Good morning. It is the 10th of October, 2012, Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on the good planet Earth. This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman Studio, Ram Radio, the webcast. Thank you very much for Brother Lawrence, an individual who used to listen to me back in the year 2000 when I was on the radio. Lawrence, I'm glad that you can join me on the webcast almost daily, all the time. PJ, Pastor John, as most of you know me, will be bringing radio commentary on what's happening in the world in terms of our faith. I got up this morning and my prayer was that my children were safe, my sons, my daughters, my friends, the ones that I love, that everyone would be safe, and that God would help me with my language, that I would use better, clear, sweeter, kinder language instead of being such an abrasive mouth, especially when things don't go my way, and that God would give me strength to get up every day and go and do my job and make the money and to reach my students on a level that I've never reached them before. Man, I'm telling you, I love being a believer, because when you're a believer and you go to God about these things and you're really serious about these things, you expect God to do something in your life. For those of you that are my Bible study students tonight, the Bible study is canceled. Around the house is kind of tore up here. I have contractors working around the house trying to take care of eating up termite wood on the house. And you know how it is when you're living in a pad as old as mine. You got to get some upgrades done. And I'm in the midst of doing that. It's kind of tight right now, but it's a good thing. I was listening to the news this morning, and as I was listening to the news, I listened to the financial situation, and I was looking at NBC, the morning show on NBC on television, and they were talking about some economic things that were going to hit this country, and we really need to pray that God will have mercy on us. But let me share something with you. I got a phone call yesterday from a brother. A Christian brother, and I'm going to have to pass on the information to Dr. Klink. This brother was listening to or watching in some kind of way one of Dr. Klink's presentation when he and I and Dean Gocher used to travel around the country to do these conferences on the Dioprox. And I was speaking with him, and he was talking about the downgrade of the country. And as he began to talk about the downgrade of the country, he mentioned the homosexuals. And I had to mention to the brother, I said, listen, I don't think it was that, of course, the any kind of moral duplicity brings the country down. We know what brought Rome down and the Persian empires and all the other great empires, what brought them to dust. But I don't think it's the gays that did that, the bisexuals that did that. I think it's the American general population, beginning with the church. The church did that because the church lowered the standard. The brother called me yesterday and he was telling me that he is a member of a 90, I think it's about 90 members of a small Baptist church. The elders in the church are in their 80s. And trying to hold to the standard of the way that the church was years ago. But the younger men in the church that are the young preachers and teachers want to change that and put an end to a user-friendly, seeker-sensitive kind of thing. They're trying to grow up the church instead of having it traditional. I was explaining to the gentleman that this fight is going to be a losing one on his behalf, because there are more than them than us. And I was also trying to share that it may be best for him to go solo and independent and just live this life for himself and not try to let other people persuade him concerning his faith, because it is his faith and no one else's faith. Okay. Now, I hope that the brother listened to me, because I think the advice that I gave him was the good advice. The way the church was in the past is no longer. That's gone. That's over. It's done. You see, my idea of doing my Christian faith is not bent or based or prejudiced by anyone else's shabby interpretation of what God may want in their lives. I'm more concerned about what God wants in my life. He wants me to love everyone, treat everybody with kindness. I had one of the most marvelous times in the college classroom last night in my ethics class as I was sharing with the students on the subject matter of a social contract, on what the social contract is all about. And I was explaining to them that we correspond with social contracts always in our lives. That's the way that peace is kept amongst the nations, a social contract. Now, when you look at the Christian church, and the social contract should be taught in the churches, first of all, because we have to get along with other people of other religions, of other faiths. I cannot understand why the Christians turned against Mitt Romney because he's rich and he's a Mormon. That makes no sense to me at all. Because when you make the social contract, you same thing with Sarah Palin, the same thing with Barack Obama. You have to make a social contract to live in peace. If not, you're going to want to whack some of these people because you disagree with them, because their politics is different from yours. I think that we have to come down to brass tacks with this situation here. We have to allow the good that God puts in us. And I believe that God puts this good in all human beings. It's in all cultures. It's in all people. And I'm not talking about this new kind of universalism. I'm not talking about that. I am trying to give a clear definition or description of what biblical Christianity is. And I'm seeking to do this as a mature man, as a man that knows what the Christian faith is supposed to subscribe and what it's all about and how that is supposed to work. We cannot continue to live as we live if we negate the fact that we have to get along with each other. And I believe that the easiest way to get along with any other person in the world is to love that person, to love them. Now, you may not understand their culture. You may not understand their backgrounds, the foods that they eat, the kind of music that they listen to. I was giving the example of a neighbor of mine that passed away, 4 months ago, and he had cancer, and he was black, and he was making good money, and he died of cancer, and I think what hastened his life was a hatred that he had for Hispanics. He hated the fact that my neighborhood was turning into an Hispanic neighborhood. I mentioned to the ethics class last night, when parties come in the Hispanic culture, they bring in live bands and they're playing the music loud, and because they're going back to Mexico or to that village wherever they're from, in Guadalajara somewhere, and they're partying. My neighbor couldn't stand it. He would walk around sometimes at night with a gun in his back pocket, daring anybody to say anything to him so that he could alleviate his neighbors or himself from his neighbors' situational problem. He's dead now, and I believe that that hastened his death, and I told him, I said, you would live a long time, and this cancer would not bother you that much if you would. I'll never forget one day I went by to see him, and he was laying on the couch in his home with his head in the pillow in dire pain, and one of the elderly ladies in the house says, oh, he's suffering terribly. And all I could do was leave the house and say, Lord, have mercy. I don't hate anybody. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat. I don't care if you're an Obama lover. Love him. I love the dude, too. I'm not voting for him. Heck, I don't care who gets in that White House. It does make a difference. I think it's going to make a tremendous difference on the lives of the people that are left in this country. Because if you get another man in there for the next 4 years that we have to face, and we're going through economic hard times, people, we need somebody with some wisdom in there, really. And we don't need anybody that's just gonna, oh well. You know what, I was speaking with the ethics class last night again, and I was talking about some current American dispositions or historical things that are taking place. And one of the things that has stricken me about this whole situation, simply put, is that I'm laughing because I'm thinking about it. Mark Ramsey and other people tried to get me to watch this program called Revolution that comes on NBC on, I think it Monday night at 10 o'clock when the lights go out in the country. And I was telling the ethics class last night, it's not going to be like that TV series. That's a joke. And I had showed them in the ethics class the movie The Mission. I usually show it during the fall semesters. And I said, that's the way it's going to look. People are going to be dead in 24 hours, and there's not going to be any drama behind it. Folk are going to come in and kill you. You're going to be whacked out. They're going to take what is salvageable out of your life and go on with it. That's the way humans do. They do it in every country in the world like that. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 says, the heart is desperately wicked above all things, and who can know it? God says in verse 10, I, the Lord, try the reins of the heart. I test you, God says. Now he's testing us to love. If I'm a believer, if I really am a Christian, if I'm called by the grace of God, love one another. Love those that hate you. That's what Jesus said. Love those that despitefully use you. Love those that speak against you. Love them. I cannot push that enough. Love them. Darn it, I don't want to curse at you today. Love them. I'm sick of you. You call yourselves Christians and you will not love. I want those of you that are white to look at the black man. Look at him. Look at him and her. Look at them. Look at the children. Look at the sagging pants. Darn it. Look at their swag. Look at them. Look at the Ron Artest. You can call him Meta World Peace all you want to. Look at him when his eyes shift, when he looks like he's brain dead because he can't get his thoughts right. Love that. I know it. He may be a great basketball player, but he's not very smart upstairs. Love it. Love it. I know. I can't do that. I can't. Man, have you been around them? Have you been? Love the skinheads. Look at them with all the swastikas on their neck. They hate anybody that's not white. Poor fellas. They got blood traveling through their veins. Love them. They need love. My goodness, for my neighbor to hate Hispanics is ridiculous. Ridiculous. I said, that is the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard in my life, man. You hate these. Listen to their music. I mean, I want to talk with you people and I want to make this perfectly clear. Perfectly clear. I cannot prove it. I cannot prove that God is going to judge us each very severely for this. Because no one has ever come back from the dead but Jesus that I know of. But no one has ever come back and said, this is the way it's going to be. Now, Christ is the only one in recorded history that has overcome death and come back. The only man that was a human is this Jesus Christ figure. Now, whether you believe it or not, some of you are listening to me and you don't believe that. I'm going to tell you, we need something to believe in. I'm not going to try to witness to you. I'm not going to try to get you to bow the knee to Christ. But I'm going to tell you, I have solace. I have peace of mind. My heart is at peace with God, with my Creator, through this man, Jesus Christ, whom I've never seen, whom I feel in me now, working through my very being, my mind. Whenever I sit at this microphone and talk, he's all around me. I beg of you, please listen to me. Listen to me. Ask him in any way that you can find in your mind. to illumine your person, to give you this love, because that will carry you through anything. You hear me? Anything. Through death itself. He will do it. Now, I can't prove it. I can, and you know what? I'm not going to read a scripture to you. I'm not going to do that. I'm looking at my neighbor walking down the street. He's an Hispanic guy. Got on a nice little white hat. He's old. He got white hair like me. He's mumbling to himself as he walks down the street because he came from another country. The people, I remember when his nephew brought him here. He came here. He's an illegal. Yes. And just mumbling words. But I've seen him on the street for well over 10 or 12 years, mumbling to himself, walking down the street. Did you know it is a privilege to have that man walk down my street? I don't care if he doesn't have papers. It doesn't matter whether he has papers or not. Hey, man, I'm glad he's here in this country with me, that he can walk down the street, an American street in this city, and mumble to himself. I love him. He doesn't even speak English, and nor do I speak his language. But I love him. Where did that come from? That came from God. I'm telling you, people, you have got to come to the point where you are ready to acquiesce to what God has already given us. Because if you never come to that particular point, you will find yourself lacking in more ways than none. Well, look, I got to get ready to go to work and make some money. So this is a short webcast today. But whatever, if you can find the strength in you, please. And this is what I want you to do. As you move from place to place, as you drive in your car, as you're on the train, on the bus, as you're riding your bike, as you're walking down the street mumbling to yourselves, or if you're sitting in a studio in your house, and my house is torn up inside and out because painting the bathroom and my goodness, the things are torn up around here. But you know what? That's all right. Mumble to yourself and love the workers working on the house. Love everybody that has something to do with this situation call life. Without this love, America is not going to survive. I'm going to tell you, we're not going to survive. And I want to bring that back. I want to bring that back. And I'm not going to try to bring back religion to you. I don't want to do that. But I want to bring back some love. You know, like if I ever meet some people that got money, I don't want their money. I want to love them. I would sure like to teach them how to love. Because that's the only thing that's going to help us make it. If not, we're going to kill each other. We're going to destroy each other. We are going to decimate each other. We are going to tear this culture apart. And you know what? You're not going to hear words like this in the media. You're not going to hear it because they're feminized. I was watching, wait, I can't end this webcast. It's too early. I was watching television earlier, and the only thing that you see on television now is happy, 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 happy. Party, 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 party. Happy, happy. Concerts, concerts. Fun, fun, fun. You're going to wake up, and the power is going to be off, and you got to wonder how are you going to survive. Now, let's get in contact with the author and finisher of love, and that's God. Not going to get into these names of God. You better know God for yourself. You better know his son, Christ. Now, Christ can speak to your consciousness in the form that he is going to speak with you. You better come in contact with this. See, because I'm not going to be facetious and say, and I want you to listen to me very plainly and clearly. If you're from a different cultural background, and if you're from a different kind of genre and understanding how life works, get in touch with that life force that is good, pure, and righteous, okay? Pure righteousness, pure righteousness. That only comes from one source. Pure righteousness, goodness, love, humility, humbleness, charity. That comes from one source. You hear me, not many. One source. The creator of this entire solar system does that. Get in touch with that. Now, I'm not going to get into any nomenclature about what you... I want to see the fruit or the evidence of this righteousness in you. Now, I'm going to give you one illustration. I'll end this up in a few minutes. I can't stop. I just keep going. I'm going to give you one illustration how you know you've come in contact with it. And here's the illustration. You can be someone that is adamantly opposed to your culture. Let's say white and black, because that's a big tension here. Let's say the black guy looks like Barack Obama and the white guy looks like Mitt Romney. Totally opposites. Totally differing on practically everything. Okay, Mitt got his wife and Barack got his woman. Now, put those two together and watch this ultimate great spirit of the divine creator in the heavens called God mesh those four people's hearts together, where you see Mitt hugging Barack and they're both weeping in each other's arms saying, "I'm sorry for the things that I said about you." And they look at each other and smile and kiss each other on the neck. Said, "I love you, brother. Can we work together to save our country?" And then you see Michelle go and get with Mitt's wife and hug her. And their kids all up on the stage, hugging each other, weeping, in love. Then you see the cameraman weeping, the commentators, the press, the people in the audience. All the people holding the cameras are weeping. Love spreading throughout the country. And both of Barack and Mitt stands there and said, "With God's help, with God's help, with God's help." You hear me? With God's help. And then the people start cheering. With God's help, with God's help, with God's help, with God's help, with God's help. You understand what I'm saying, people? He'll turn this thing around. He'll turn this thing around. That's what we have to come to. And if we don't come to that, we're going to lose every damn thing we have in this country. Now, that's the way it works. It's not about religion. It's not about your stupid belief system. It's not about the Mormons over the Christians. It's not about that. It's not about that, because that has nothing to do with nothing. I'm sick of it. That's why I don't participate in a fool's game. The only thing that is going to bring us up out of this pit that we found ourselves in is when we write across the board, unequivocally, is that the word? Love. Love. I learned that a young man that I met once in my home discovered that he has AIDS. And I remember talking to that young man and I told him to slow down in that lifestyle, and he wouldn't do it. And he just discovered this week that he has AIDS and he's dying at about 22 years old. There's another young man that I've grown to love, and I know, haven't seen him, haven't heard from him in a long time. Last time I heard from him, he was convalescing in his mother's home. Grown man, had to move back in with his mother. Dying. Probably. He won't tell me, but probably. Death is coming on our young people so quick now, you guys wouldn't believe it. And you know what it's going to take? It's going to take to stop judging. Hey, you better start loving. Introduce these people to the divine creator of all the world that will do what is right. Now, those of us that are Christians, we know what his name is. And those of us that are not Christians, they don't know what his name is or what the name is that brings redemption for the soul, eternal life and bliss for billions and trillions of years. Wouldn't you want that over being X'd out? And it has been like that throughout the ages. Now, those of us that knows God on a personal level has an obligation to push this message that I'm giving. And if you disagree with this message, no, you're not going to push it. You're going to you are just going to decimate it. I'm asking you to get serious about this situation. Now, think about that illustration that I gave with Mitt and Barack and their families on the stage hugging each other, the cameras going, no teleprompters, two men crying, holding each other, saying, work with me, man, and let's work this out. Wouldn't it be great if both of them could say, come on, man, you be the president. I don't need to be in the White House, but just can I come in and work with you? Can I come in and work with you, man? Black and white, let's bring in a Hispanic and an Asian. We're not going to change the Constitution, but we're going to work together to make this country work. And then what we want to do is we want to spread this. Now, what you cannot do, man, I can't stop this webcast. Ain't that crazy? What you cannot do is you cannot spread your belief and push it in the face of another person and make them embrace it. You can't do that. You're not going to do that. But if you love them, it will make a difference. Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, on this date, October, what is it? The 10th? Yes, October the 10th, 2012. You know the drill. Stay into the Word.